A radio program about Lois Lowry's book, The Giver. Multiple choice. You will hear a radio program about Lois Lowry and her book, The Giver. While listening, tick the correct answer, A, B, or C. Do not tick more than one answer. You will hear the recording twice. You have 1 minute to look at the task. You will have 30 seconds to finalize your answers after the second listening.
Just for a second, try to imagine a world without war, conflict, grief, or memory. Now that's the premise of Lois Lowry's novel, The Giver. Since it was published in 1993, it's won nearly every major award for young adult literature. The Giver is assigned reading in thousands of schools. The movie version with Meryl Streep and Jeff Bridges opened this weekend, and NPR's Netta Ulaby has more.
The Giver's world is a scary, sterile world. Every person in this dystopian community must wear uniforms and take drugs to suppress their emotions.
I can tell why you've been acting this way. Your injection levels are extremely low.
Only two people get to feel deep emotions. The receiver, whose job it is to remember humanity's history, and the giver, who passes those memories on. Everyone else has an orderly but colorless existence.
I know that there's something more,
Fiona.
Something missing from our lives. No, not missing. Something that has been stolen from me and from you.
Author Lois Lowry came up with the idea for The Giver after her father went to a nursing home.
He didn't have Alzheimer's, but he began to lose pieces of his memory the way people do as they age.
One day, Lowry was showing him family photos, including one of her sister, who died when she was only 28.
And he said, I can't remember her name. And I told him her name, and then he said, whatever happened to her? And I had to tell him about her death.
That made Lowry think, the way perhaps so many of us have after the pain of losing someone, wouldn't it be easier if we didn't have memories at all?
And so I began to think about writing a book about people who had found a way to manipulate human memory so that they wouldn't have to remember anything bad.
Lowry's written a lot of books, more than 40, but none with the impact of The Giver. Since it was published over 20 years ago, it's sold more than 12 million copies. The Giver has been turned into a play, a musical, and an opera, performed last year in Kansas City. Something about the book lends itself to adaptation, says Michael Mitnick, who co-wrote the movie version. That's not to say it was easy.
It was extremely intimidating. I think I did about 87 drafts of the screenplay.
Mitnick read The Giver as a fifth grader in school. Now he's 30. He says the book works in so many different forms because of its spare but hauntingly visual language and because of the questions it raises for young readers.
Would I prefer a world where there isn't war and there isn't starvation and greed and envy?
Or instead, believe
that with the good there comes the bad and there always have to be both sides of it.
A book for young people that includes euthanasia and thought control was controversial.
The boy must hold in the pain.
Walden Media bought the book's rights early on, and it's co-producing The Giver now. But executive Chip Flaherty says the company hesitated about the project at the beginning.
Because of the fact that it had been banned in some places and things like that, you know, you would take a second look.
Meaning The Giver did not seem like the world's most bankable property. But then came The Hunger Games. Suddenly, a dystopian fantasy with a built-in following of millions seemed well worth a second look. Lois Lowry, the book's author, says The Giver did not presage any trends.
I didn't think of it as futuristic or dystopian or science fiction or fantasy.
It was, she said, just a story like so many of her other ones, about a kid making sense of his or her complicated world. Lowry was a military brat who moved all over throughout her childhood, often after the school year had begun.
So I would be thrust into a classroom as the new kid.
Training her, she said, towards hypervigilance to each place's rules and culture. For example, in one school, the girls might wear their socks artfully scrunched down.
And then you'd be in the next place and their socks were carefully folded over. It was important to know that. So I would observe those things.
Lowry says that's what made her a writer. She refused to tell me what she's working on now, except in terms of her garden at her farmhouse in Maine.
As female hormones decrease, they're replaced with an overwhelming urge to grow delphinium.
Lois Lowry says it was worth the 18 years it took to see The Giver transferred to the big screen. And at 77 years old, she hopes it won't take quite as long to see the other books in The Giver series become movies, too. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
Now listen to the recording again.
Just for a second, try to imagine a world without war, conflict, grief, or memory. Now that's the premise of Lois Lowry's novel, The Giver. Since it was published in 1993, it's won nearly every major award for young adult literature. The Giver is assigned reading in thousands of schools. The movie version with Meryl Streep and Jeff Bridges opened this weekend, and NPR's Netta Ulaby has more.
The Giver's world is a scary, sterile world. Every person in this dystopian community must wear uniforms and take drugs to suppress their emotions.
I can tell why you've been acting this way. Your injection levels are extremely low.
Only two people get to feel deep emotions. The receiver, whose job it is to remember humanity's history, and the giver, who passes those memories on. Everyone else has an orderly but colorless existence.
I know that there's something more,
Fiona.
Something missing from our lives. No, not missing. Something that has been stolen from me and from you.
Author Lois Lowry came up with the idea for The Giver after her father went to a nursing home.
He didn't have Alzheimer's, but he began to lose pieces of his memory the way people do as they age.
One day, Lowry was showing him family photos, including one of her sister, who died when she was only 28.
And he said, I can't remember her name. And I told him her name, and then he said, whatever happened to her? And I had to tell him about her death.
That made Lowry think, the way perhaps so many of us have after the pain of losing someone, wouldn't it be easier if we didn't have memories at all?
And so I began to think about writing a book about people who had found a way to manipulate human memory so that they wouldn't have to remember anything bad.
Lowry's written a lot of books, more than 40, but none with the impact of The Giver. Since it was published over 20 years ago, it's sold more than 12 million copies. The Giver has been turned into a play, a musical, and an opera, performed last year in Kansas City. Something about the book lends itself to adaptation, says Michael Mitnick, who co-wrote the movie version. That's not to say it was easy.
It was extremely intimidating. I think I did about 87 drafts of the screenplay.
Mitnick read The Giver as a fifth grader in school. Now he's 30. He says the book works in so many different forms because of its spare but hauntingly visual language and because of the questions it raises for young readers.
Would I prefer a world where there isn't war and there isn't starvation and greed and envy?
Or instead, believe
that with the good there comes the bad and there always have to be both sides of it.
A book for young people that includes euthanasia and thought control was controversial.
The boy must hold in the pain.
Walden Media bought the book's rights early on, and it's co-producing The Giver now. But executive Chip Flaherty says the company hesitated about the project at the beginning.
Because of the fact that it had been banned in some places and things like that, you know, you would take a second look.
Meaning The Giver did not seem like the world's most bankable property. But then came The Hunger Games. Suddenly, a dystopian fantasy with a built-in following of millions seemed well worth a second look. Lois Lowry, the book's author, says The Giver did not presage any trends.
I didn't think of it as futuristic or dystopian or science fiction or fantasy.
It was, she said, just a story like so many of her other ones, about a kid making sense of his or her complicated world. Lowry was a military brat who moved all over throughout her childhood, often after the school year had begun.
So I would be thrust into a classroom as the new kid.
Training her, she said, towards hypervigilance to each place's rules and culture. For example, in one school, the girls might wear their socks artfully scrunched down.
And then you'd be in the next place and their socks were carefully folded over. It was important to know that. So I would observe those things.
Lowry says that's what made her a writer. She refused to tell me what she's working on now, except in terms of her garden at her farmhouse in Maine.
As female hormones decrease, they're replaced with an overwhelming urge to grow delphinium.
Lois Lowry says it was worth the 18 years it took to see The Giver transferred to the big screen. And at 77 years old, she hopes it won't take quite as long to see the other books in The Giver series become movies, too. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.